Yep, we are live. Today is May 4th. I'm Adam Martins, Big Marcel. What's going on, big guy? How you doing, man?
Same as yesterday.
Yeah. Of course, I'm just being polite. You know what, though? I'm the same as yesterday, but I'm super human now because I got the COVID vaccine. So got my little shot right there today, man. So I'm hopefully going to be invincible. No, I'm kidding. Got my first dose. I'm happy, man. You know, just because want to be safe, you know what I mean? Like a lot of people getting sick. So thankfully I've been healthy and been able to talk about MMA and write about it. And we got a good show for you guys today. We're going to preview UFC Vegas 26. Pretty solid card. I mean, there's some confusion right now about the main event. We got to talk about this first. I'll get Kevin's comment. Congrats, man. Where do you live again, Kevin? I forgot. Michigan, I think you said, right? Got vaxxed up. Good job, man. Yeah, so there's some confusion about the main event, guys, because the UFC has announced the fight. Marina Rodriguez and Michelle Waterson. But I'm hearing from a few different people, Marcel, that Marina is still in Brazil. Like, she's not even in the United States. She's supposed to get it, I think, Thursday. That doesn't leave much time to, like, even, I don't know, do all the stuff she needs to do before the fight starts. So, like, this fight is, they've announced it, but it doesn't seem like it's 100% yet. So, Marcel, what are you hearing, man?
Yeah, same. I heard that as well, you know, and I mean, it's very short notice, you know. People are even complaining about the main event, man. They should be thankful for Marina. She has to go to so many hurdles to get to the U.S. and to get this fight. Plus, she's taking a risk here as well, man. She's higher in the rankings than Karate Hardy Waterson, you know. And it's a flyweight, you know. So it's also a risk for her. And it's a fun fight, I think. Listen, man, Marina definitely... it's good for her to have a name like Michelle Waterson on her resume, you know. And for Waterson, it's also a big fight because she can be back in the mix if she beats Marina Rodriguez. Although it's a flyweight, it's still two top-ranked strawweights going at each other, you know. So yeah. I think it's a good fight. I don't know why people are complaining about it. But I understand if you compare it to TJ Dillashaw against Corey Sandhagen, which was arguably a number one contender fight, I can see people are not happy with it. But you got to take in mention that this fight is really short notice, man. Mm-hmm. The UFC tried to put this
it's
together
so weird,
like last week.
Why this fight of all the fights? Like, it's an okay fight. We'll talk about it in a few minutes, guys. We'll talk, actually, it'll be the last fight we talk about. But it's just weird how, like, if Marina's not in the United States right now and she's having visa issues, like, isn't there someone in the States they can get? Like, they could fly to Vegas right now and get them, you know, do the medicals and everything more so. Like, isn't there someone else? But I just hope this fight doesn't fall off, man. I hope that doesn't fall off.
They could have easily, listen, man, I'm cool with the fight, but they could have easily bumped up Jeff Neal against Neil Magny as the main event.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it's maybe also not really appealing to the casual fan, but they are also complaining about this fight. So, I mean, what you want to do? The Cowboy's not going to do five rounds. So.
For a short notice fight, it's not a bad fight. Like, anyway, yeah. So, like, the TJ and Corey would have been great. Anyways. I mean, let's get into the card now, man. Let's just do it, guys. You know, I've been eagerly looking to talk about this one. There's some, man, if you look at the odds for this one, guys, like, there's no real big favorite except for Ludovic Klein against Mike Trezano, but everyone else is, like, a really short favorite for the most part. So it's one of the more, like, well-matched cards of the year, and you'll probably see quite a few upsets just because the lines are so tight and there's, like, a lot of, like, you know, plus 150 dogs in that range. So we've got a lot of fights to talk about today, guys, but we'll start with the first one. We're going to use UFCstats.com as the reference for the bout order. First fight, welterweight bout, Christian Aguilera, the Beast, against Carlston Harris, Mokambik. And actually, I'm really looking forward to seeing this guy fight in the UFC, man. He's actually quite a good prospect, I think. Marcel, the odds for this fight right now, he's actually the favorite, the newcomer, Harris, minus 150. And plus 130 for Christian Aguilera. So give me your thoughts on this one, man.
Kind of sucks, man. I was hoping the other way around because I think, I like Carlston Harris, man, what I saw so far, man. The UFC, I think Dana told him, like, you're a little bit too old for me to sign, but, hey, I give you a shout-out. I was like, dude, guy's 33. What are you talking about? If he's good, he's good, you know? He beat, in his last fight, he beat Sagit Izagamagayev, if I said it correctly, and he was actually supposed to lose that fight. Izzat Magomayev was supposed to sign with the UFC at that moment. The UFC was also there for him, and he lost. And he got signed from the Dana White looking for a fight, right, in Abu Dhabi. But he has some solid names on his record, man. Carl Booth, he defeated Wellington Turman, he defeated Michel Pereira. He's been a long time in the game, man. He is he won last I think 7 of his last 8 fights. His only loss come to Jara Al Salawi, which is the current Brave champion, who is also UFC ready, man. That's a great fighter as well. So for me here, going to Aguilera lost to Sean Brady, but hey, man, I think most people will lose to Sean Brady at this moment. Sean Brady is a guy who hasn't got the hasn't got the push from the UFC yet, in my opinion, but definitely deserves that. Won his first fight in the UFC against Anthony Ivey, which was short notice, a knockout in the first round. Overall, I think Carlson Harris is the better fighter, man. I'm taking him, and I think he will even stop him, probably via KO or TKO in the first or second round.
So I was actually really looking forward to this fight, guys, because it's the only fight in the card that has like a guy that I've never seen fight before, Carlson Harris. So it was interesting to watch his fights, man. And I was really impressed too, Marcel. I got to be honest. Watching the tape on this guy, he is a good fighter. And I think he holds the grappling advantage here, a big grappling advantage over Aguilera. And Aguilera, he is a pretty solid fighter overall. He's got KO power, obviously. We've seen that in the UFC. We've seen that in the regional scene. But, man, he's got a lot of flaws in his game too, guys. And I feel like this guy, Harris, could probably get into the ground. So I'm with you, Marcel. I wish this guy was the underdog because I was hoping no one would think he's that good. He opened at minus 130. He's minus 150 now. I mean, I think this guy probably does win the fight. So that's the way I'm leaning. I think the odds makers got it right, actually, opening him as the favorite. Because at first I was like, okay, who is this guy? Because Christian Aguilera is a decent fighter, right? Then I watched the guy's tape and I'm like, this guy's actually freaking good, Marcel. So yeah, I'm with you, man. I agree with you. And once again, that Brave promotion, man. A lot of these fighters are pretty good from coming over from there. Let me get these comments quickly. Concerns asking about Cerrone and Moreau. Basically, Cerrone was supposed to fight Diego Sanchez, and that was the co-main event originally, if I'm not mistaken. So they just replaced him with Moreau. Like, that's the same thing. The only change was the main event. Sorry, go ahead.
It's still the co-main as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that makes sense. That's fine. It's a name value, right? Like, I know Cerrone's might be his last fight. It's possible, right? So anyways, I'm with you on this one, Marcel. I kind of agree with you. I think it should be a good fight. Probably sees a finish in this fight, if I had to guess. I'm kind of with you on that, too. So maybe that's an angle you guys could take, because Aguilera does got power, man. He absolutely does. He's got, like brutal knockout power. You can knock him with one punch. So Harris will have to watch that. But overall, that guy's pretty good, and he's a big dude for welterweight, too, man. All right, man. This is another fight I'm really looking forward to talking about, Marcel. This fight's awesome. Two guys I really like. Oh my gosh, the Iron Turtle, Jungyeon Park, the Don, Tafan Nachukwi. Man, I love this fight, Marcel. And right now we got Tafan Nachukwi, small favorite, minus 140. The Iron Turtle, Jungyeon Park, plus 120. Marcel, I think this is one of the best fights of the card, man. Much over at you. Give me your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, it's a great fight, man, and a very tough fight to pick, in my opinion. I think the overall consensus will be Tafan and Chukwi to pick, but I'm not 100% sure, man. I think Tafan and Chukwi, he had his debut against Jamie Pickett. He won the fight, but I wasn't as impressed with him as I was in his contender series fight, you know, and his fight with William Knight. I mean, he's good. I really like him, but he's also still 26. He's young in the game, man. He started his amateur career in 2017 and went pro in 2019. He's still young in the game, you know what I mean? And Jungyeon Park is actually fun. He's Jungyeon Park, and Tafan is young in the game. Yeah, Jungyeon Park. I mean, he lost his debut against Anthony Hernandez, but wins against Marc-Andre Barriot after that, and against John Phillips. John Phillips, he set like a ground and pound record or whatever he set I don't know what it was, but man, I mean, yeah, but who doesn't beat John Phillips in this respect, by the way? But it was very dominant, I remember. Man, it's such difficulty here, man. I think if it goes longer than one or two rounds, I maybe favor Park, you know, but man, and Chukri can knock him out as well, you know? So, man, so hard. My gut feeling initially when I saw the fight and onset and Chuckwe, but I went a little bit back and forth. I think Park has a good chance to win here, man. So I'm really, really in doubt about this one. I actually haven't made my mind up about this one.
That's
So you
fair.
go first. Maybe you
That's
can make my
totally
mind up
fair. No,
now.
I feel like it's a close fight too, but I gotta go with the roll with the Don here, man. Teofimo Chuppi. This guy's a unit, man. He's a beast. And I like him at 185. You know, that was his first fight at middleweight. You know, he's getting his feet wet. I watched the fight back today and like he knocked down Pickett. He also stopped some takedowns too. That's the biggest question I have. Like, will Park get him down? If he gets him down, Park will win the fight, obviously. But I don't know. I don't know if he gets him down. That's the biggest question. He could though, because Park's good, man. And I watched the fight with Berrio again. He got Berrio down. Berrio's got good takedown defense. He still got him down. So this guy is a solid fighter. He's got good boxing too. Very tough, very durable. I think this is a great fight, man. I think this is one of the best fights in the card, guys. But if I had to pick someone right now, I would lean a little bit towards Nichuki. He is favored slightly, -140. I feel like that's accurate. But I feel like, you know, Marcel's not off by saying Park has a chance here because, again, he gets the fight to the ground. He's going to have an advantage. I just don't know if he can get the fight to the ground. Gets the Chuki because his takedown defense looks good to me, guys. With Park, I was going to say that fight with John Phillips. So basically, they had to change the rules on DFS because he only scored 10 significant strikes, but he landed 260 strikes, like total strikes. So they actually had to change the rule, Marcel. They actually had to give you points for that because that night, like, no one got points for him destroying John Phillips and that. It was just stupid, but they have fixed that. But yeah, I would lean like a little bit towards him, Chuki, but again, great fight, man. Close fight. All right, another fight that's pretty closely lined. Flyweight fight. Ryan Benoit against Dashev. Benoit right now is a slight, he's a slight favorite, yeah. He's -145 and +125 for Zaruk as the underdog. What's your lean in this one, man?
Yeah, this is definitely a lose-lose town fight, I think. Ryan Benoit, that fight against Tim Elliott last time in Abu Dhabi was actually a
I
pretty
thought he
good
won that
fight, you know,
fight, man. I
and
gotta
he
be
could have
honest.
won that.
Yeah.
I think it was close, 29-28 either way, but he could have won that definitely. Before that, the fight against Haile was a split decision. You know, his last win dates from 2017, man, a head kick knockout against Askren Mokhtarian. And I don't know, man. I've never been very high on Ryan Benoit, to be really honest. I'm just not sold on him. And so, somehow, no disrespect, but he irritates me as well. Zaruk Adashev, yeah, it's kind of weird he got signed, to be honest, with the UFC. Remember, it was 3-1. He got signed, got starched by Tyson Namin's debut, and yeah, Sumudaerji won against him as well, but I think he did well in the third round. Honestly, I don't care, but I'm taking Benoit on this one by decision.
I feel like that's probably the right lean here too. It's a close fight again. It's a flyweight fight too, so I feel like it probably goes to the scorecards. Although they do have some power. Benoit's got some power. We've seen that a few times in his career. The Sergio Pettis fight where he won as a big underdog against Mokhtarian, but he's lost a lot of close decisions. He's also been submitted a few times. Thing is, Adashev doesn't really have any like grappling, so it's going to be a striking-based fight, I think. If you have to ask me who the better MMA fighter was, I'd say Benoit. He's also the guy who's more experienced too. So that's the way I'd be leaning here. And again, I thought he won that fight with Tim Elliott, man. And I think if he had won that fight, he'd probably be like a -200 favorite here. So you're getting a little bit of a discount on him, I think, because the judges screwed up, if that makes sense. So that's kind of why I lean here. But Adashev is definitely a good striker. He's capable of winning a fight. This is the fight he'd probably win because Benoit will stand and trade with him. But I feel like if Benoit can mix it up, Marcel, and make it an MMA fight, not just a striking battle, he can win that, you know? As a nice friend taking notes. I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I've got a lot of confidence right now with just my ability to see the fights. So I'm sharing the knowledge with you guys, hopefully. Hopefully. We'll see. It's been good lately. Benoit versus Adashev, watching on bathroom break. man, that's funny. Yeah, no, you know what? I don't know. I feel like Benoit's been in some good fights in his career, but Adashev, I haven't been too impressed with him. But it could be a sneaky fight. It could surprise and be a little bit more exciting than you're saying. But it's not really what I'm really looking forward to. Anyways, all right, next fight. This one I'm looking forward to a little bit just because I'm really high on this one guy, Ludovic Klein, Marcel. He's got a great nickname too, Mr. Highlight. Fucking love that nickname, guys. That is a great nickname. And for this guy, it's perfect because, man, he's just like a head kick machine. He just knocks everyone with head kicks. He's unbelievable. And I remember I scouted him before his UFC debut against Shane Young last year, and I was just blown away by this guy. And I remember I predicted on this podcast with Cole, I said he's going to knock out Young with a head kick, and he did it. So I'm a full believer in this guy, and he's the biggest favorite of the card. This card, again, has mostly close odds, but in this case, he's a big favorite, minus 245. And the lone wolf, Mike Trezano, plus 205, a guy who's been an underdog a few times and won. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this one, man.
Dustin Ludovic Klein is 4 inches shorter than Mike Trezano, so high kick will probably be difficult. I don't know.
Yep.
But I hate the fight for Trezano, to be honest, man. He comes back after almost 2 years not fighting, you know, and now getting – it's actually if it was 10 days later, it would be 2 years not fighting. So, I mean, Trezano, I really like him, man. He's a good fighter. I think his first two UFC fights were a split decision, should have been unanimous. I think he did enough in both those fights to win. The Grant Dawson fight was very underwhelming. He got control on the ground and didn't really know where he should go there. Klein, yeah, this I expect, honestly, a stand-up battle, you know. I think Trezano definitely wants to keep it standing, and Klein as well, man. And then it's who got the better moves. Yeah, it kind of breaks my heart because I really like Trezano, but I'm picking Klein here to win the fight, and I expect him to win via probably a late third round TKO.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that too. I kind of lean towards this guy too. The only thing is, like, he's the only like real big favorite, except for, I guess, Rodriguez. But it's like you'll want to, some people will want to parlay this guy, I think, just because of the odds. But I don't know who you do that with. But I do think he probably wins this fight. I mean, the height difference does kind of throw me off, though. I mean, that's why it's an interesting fight, because Trezano's a big dude, and you know, he's a guy who's won some fights in the UFC. At lightweight, obviously. So, you know, he's capable of winning fights. Like, he's been an underdog and has pulled it off a few times. I remember against Pena. So, he's got the grappling. Klein's grappling, I don't know. I mean, that's the biggest question mark with him, right? So, I watched the one fight where he lost in Cage Warriors, I think it was. He got taken down and submitted. And, you know, he threw a kick and the guy caught his kick and took him down and then took his back and submitted him. So, I feel like he does have a weakness on the ground, if you can get him there. But, you know, the guy's a fucking monster, and with the head kicks, Marcel. And by the way, I looked at his Instagram today just because I was like, okay, what's this guy? Where's he training and stuff? The guy is in insane. Did you see his Instagram? This guy is in the craziest shape I've ever seen. Look at this shit.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is ready to go, guys. This guy is an absolute monster. Look at this dude. Like, he's brushing his teeth, and look at this guy, Marcel. Like, he's a beast, dude. He is. He's an absolute beast, guys. I like this guy. I like the fact, you know, he's getting some good training. He's in Vegas right now doing some training. So I love this guy, man. He's awesome. I think he probably wins this fight, man. It sucks for Trezano because I think he's a good fighter, but this is a tough matchup for him. Unless he gets a takedown. So I don't really see it happening. Let's get some comments here. But no way Ash had a relevant might be the selection. It could be okay. Interesting climb with yeah, that's true. He missed weight. I forgot about that. That's true. But hopefully he makes weight in this one. Mike versus Klein, good fight. Yeah, great fight. These block fighters, such as Klein, are hard to bet against, especially this level. Though these guys are really good, man. Trezano is finish or bust. I don't know. I think Trezano maybe could grind him out. Maybe that'd be his path, but I don't know. He hasn't fought in 2 years. That's the other thing. He's coming off a huge layoff. So the question is with him, you know, has he gotten worse? Has he gotten better during that time off? And you never know, right? You really never know, Marcel. Literally, it's been 2 years, May 18th, 2019, so almost 2 years. He's a young guy, right? So he's 29. Remember that guy, Jacob Malkoon? Like, he took, you know, 6 or 7 months off, came back looking like a beast, like looked like a Khabib in his last fight against Holosan. So sometimes these guys go away for a while, like Georges Daniel went away and he came back and looked amazing in his last fight. There's a few other guys. That guy, Stefan Sukulic, I think a lot of us thought he'd beat Dwight Grant. Like, he was, you know, 3 years off, Marcel. So
the Martin layoff, Pratnio.
Pardon?
Martin Pratnio.
Another guy, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys. So, like, you know, in general, layoffs are something that I fade because I feel like it is an edge if a guy's been fighting more active and stuff. But there's situations where a guy has been getting better during that time off. So, you know, Trezano's a big dude for lightweight, and, you know, it's going to be a test for Klein. But I do think Klein probably passes his test. He's a beast. I don't think I could pick against him. You know what I mean, Marcel? Like, it'd be hard for me to against a non-top 15 opponent. When he gets to the top 15, like if he fought Jig, I mean, that's obviously a harder fight to pick him in. Let's go to the next fight here. Phil Haas against Kyle Daukaus. So this fight's kind of like weird, I guess, because Daukaus was supposed to fight man, I can't remember the guy's name. Remember a few weeks ago, guys?
Chris Rev.
Yeah, yeah. And that would have been a good fight. And then I think he missed weight or he pulled out of the fight, the other guy, right?
Dawkins had COVID.
Dawkins had COVID. Oh, okay. What happened to the other guy then? Did he get a fight or?
He just didn't get rebooked, man.
Oh, man. What the heck? That sucked.
They were supposed to fight each other in a rebooking, but that fight didn't get rebooked.
Yeah, that's weird. Anyways, he's fighting Phil Haas in this fight. And, man, I mean, they're both good prospects, I think, and both solid fighters. So, right now, these are close odds, man. Minus 140. Kyle Dawkins, Phil Haas, plus 120. Kyle Dawkins open as a bigger favorite. It's kind of like close to a pick 'em now, but the Dawkins looks like the lean here from the odds makers and bettors point of view. What about you, man? What are you thinking?
First of all, maybe I have to retract what I said. I'm not sure if Dawkins had COVID or it was some corner man of his or whatever, or somebody in his team. So I have to make that clear.
I mean, don't sure,
but it was, a COVID situation why he pulled out.
Yeah, COVID protocols. I don't think it was him. It was his teammate or whatever. So, yeah, that's a good thing to note, though. Yeah, it wasn't him that got it. It was someone in his team. The fight fell apart anyways. So go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, Phil Haas, he beat Imavov in his last fight. In the fight, I scored for Imavov 29-28. I think he did more damage. I think Haas was better.
I wish you were the judge in that fight, man. I had a bet on Imavov. I was hoping. Go ahead.
But, yeah. Before that, the Mel Kuhn knockout within 20 seconds. I mean, you can't take too much from that, I think. You know, he turned his career pretty good around, man, Phil Haas, man. I remember when he first time came the Ultimate Fighter, he was supposed to be the next John Jones, right? And Andrew Sanchez decisioned him. He didn't even get in the house. Second time, Contender Series got head kicked by Julian Marquez. Also not in the third chance he got, he took against Gatsimura Bestayev. So he turned his career pretty much well around, I think. But man, Kyle Dawkins, man, I really like Kyle Dawkins. I'm high on Kyle Dawkins. His only loss is because Brandon Allen was competitive as fuck. Mm-hmm. You know, he did great in the third round, was close. I liked him in the CFFC organization. I know in this fight against Stephen Rackman, he got in trouble early in that fight, but he turned it around. But Rackman is actually... Rackman is a guy who actually should fight at welterweight and not at middleweight, but he did well in the first round. His only win in the UFC against Stoltzfus in November. Pretty good win. Decent win, a fight he should have won, I think. So it's not really anything special, but he won that fight, in my opinion. It was good. Overall, man, I don't pick against Kyle Dawkins here, man. I expect him to win the fight, a decision.
Yeah, this one, I don't know, man. I feel like this is such a tough fight to pick, guys. Honestly, this is a close one, I think. They're both good, man, for sure. You know, Haas, I always fade because his cardio I don't like, right? But then the last fight, he looked, you know, decent in the third round. Like, he obviously lost it, but he still went the full distance against Imavov, a guy who's kind of, like, known for his cardio, and he won that fight. And again, I was on the other side in that one, so I was watching Haas, and I was kind of impressed with him a little bit more than I usually am. And I think training, I think he's at Stanford, right? So, I mean, like, that gym, man. Like, guys, there's good fighters in that gym. You know, you guys know I like that gym, so... Yeah, I don't know, Mark. So I feel like he matches up decently well with Kyle Dawkins, to be honest with you. Like, I think he's got, you know, the wrestling to grapple with him. And then in the striking, I would say he's the better striker, too. Kyle's super tough, though, and he's super durable. He's got great cardio. This is kind of one of those spots where I feel like Haas could be winning early, knock down Dawkins. Dawkins survives, and then the third round, Dawkins wins by submission. I could see that happening. You know what I mean? I could see it being that kind of fight. But overall, I don't know. I feel like it's a close fight. I kind of would lean a little bit towards Haas, I think, actually, just because I feel like he's a little bit, like, more dangerous. But, man, it's a tough fight to pick, I think, too. It doesn't really get easier anyways, according to the odds here, Marcel, because we got the next one. It's a true pick of minus 110 each, Ben Rothwell and Philippe Lins. So this fight was supposed to happen, like, last month. I think we talked about it. I can't remember. Quickly, let me get these comments. Kevin said, if you think it's a close fight, I think the smart play is anti-Kobe and go with Haas. I'm not betting Haas versus Kyle. He might eat a high knee from Dawkins. Yeah, Dawkins has got those knees too. Yeah, it's a tough fight. Like I said, if I had to pick someone, I think I would pick Haas, but I don't know. It's tough, man. But yeah, this other fight here with Ben Rothwell and Philippe Lins, I think we talked about it. I can't remember now, but the fight got canceled. Anyways, Marcel, give me your thoughts on this one.
Yeah. I mean, Philippe Lins has looked not good in the UFC You know, he came in the UFC after 1.5 year layoff after winning the PFL tournament. He fought Arlovski, good first round, and the second and third round were not good, and he lost the fight. Tanner Bozer got knocked out viciously in the first round. Ben Rothwell, the thing with Ben Rothwell is he never looks really great, but he never looks really bad. You know what I mean? He's like that dude that, you know, if you're really good, well, upcoming fighter, you probably will beat him, but if you're not, you won't. You know, he has a pretty, how do you say that? He never fails his basics or whatever. If you understand what I mean, you know, he has a certain basic game, and he can pull that out anytime he wants. So, it's a hard fight, honestly, to pick, because I think both guys are well out of their prime. I pick Ben Rothwell here. I think Ben Rothwell either decisions him or lands a hard bomb on him in the first round and knocks him out as well.
Yeah.
So I'm picking Ben Rothwell.
Yeah. I already said last time that he's going to be a better mind, so I'll just say it again. Like, I will be better. I already said that. There's no reason it would change. I would change my mind because the fight got canceled. I like him here at a pick of price. I'm taking a shot. I don't even think – I think he should be a bigger favorite. He's the better fighter, guys. He's the better, more experienced MMA fighter. And Philippe Lins was – I can't say for sure, Marcel, but I feel like he's a guy that could have been using something when he was in PFL, because you watch those fights and he was just a different fighter. He's so explosive and knocked everyone out, destroying everyone. Comes to the UFC and just looks terrible. So I don't know what's going on with him, man. He's just not the same fighter anymore. I can't pick him here. Ben Rothwell's a guy who's always going to give you your money's worth, you know, Marcel? Like, if you bet on him, Marcel, he'll fight to the better end for you. Like, he'll walk forward and he'll be eating punches, but he'll still be fighting. He's not a guy you can knock out. So how does Lins win? By decision? He's just going to pick apart Ben Rothwell? Ben Rothwell is going to let him just win a decision? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. So I feel like Lins doesn't really have a path to victory here outside of winning a decision on points on the feet. I don't see that. Like, what's his name? Rothwell, I think, beat Ovince, right? So that's exactly – that's what I'm saying. Like, that fight is very similar, I feel like, and Rothwell won. So I could see it, I guess, being a closer decision than I'm saying, but – I think he probably knocks him out, Marcel, if anything.
Yeah, the last time really Rothwell didn't really look good was against Arlovski, that fight, I think.
Yeah, I know. I remember I had a bet on him in that one. I was surprised he lost that fight, I gotta be honest.
Yeah, me too.
But I mean, he's a guy that, you know, man, I bet on him a lot in his career. He's been a good bet for me, you know, like,
plus,
he's
been he also, in my opinion, didn't lose to Ivanov. I think he won that fight.
Man, I had him a few times in the past. I remember I had him against Overeem. He was plus 400 that night, I think. And against Barnett, he was a big underdog too. So, I mean, he's a guy that has really been a, you know, if you've got him at a good price, then he's done well for you. Also, that fight with Ivanov, he should have won. So, with Lins on 80K to show he gets cut if he loses. Yes, I agree. Rothwell pisses you off, hate him so much. Yeah, I mean, he is kind of like a little bit inconsistent for sure, but I mean, I think he gives you your money's worth. It's a pick and price, Kenshiro. Like, you're not laying juice. You're laying 10 cents, but still. You know,
I really like Ben Rothwell, man.
Yeah, me too, man. I think this is, and again, that's one I already gave out, so I can't go back on it. There's no reason I wouldn't bet on him again because the fight got canceled. I just like Ben Rothwell, man. I think he's the better MMA fighter. That's what it comes down to. So, all right, next fight here. Amanda Ribas versus Angela Hill. Let's get the odds for this one. Ribas, minus 175, Hill plus 155. There was a guy in the podcast chat yesterday that was saying he likes Hill in the fight. I don't know where he is. Maybe he's here today. I don't know. If you're hiding, send us a message. But Marcel, give me your thoughts on the fight.
Yeah, the dude was probably drunk. I mean, Amanda Ribas, man, take down City here on this one, man. Angela Hill, she beats her everywhere on the ground, man. And Angela Hill might be better striking, you know. But I don't think Ribas is that stupid to go strike with her. Ribas lost her last fight by getting stopped by Marina Rodriguez, a TKO. And why would she take the risk, man? She is 10 times better than Hill on the ground. You know what I mean? And people, really, man, I see it on Twitter all the damn time. Like, Angela Hill won this fight, Angela Hill won that fight. Guys, you guys should stop to act like Angela Hill is some world-class, next-level kind of athlete. She's a good fighter. Yeah, she's a decent fighter. She's definitely top 15 where she is. I agree with that. But please stop the narrative that she won her last seven fights because she said so, and you want to be a friend of hers or something. I don't know what's up with that. But yeah, Ribas will have her way with her, man. I expect her to take her down, probably get a submission in the second round and finishing Angela Hill. And if not, a decision, man. But I don't think Angela Hill will win this fight.
Ribas sure did fall off of the huge favorite status after her last TKO loss. That's what I'm saying. Like, if she didn't lose that fight, she'd be like a much bigger favorite here, obviously.
Yeah.
She'd probably be like -300 or -400, I'd have to guess, if she didn't lose that fight. But we saw her get knocked out right in her last fight. That's the worry, man, because Hill's a good striker. Hill does have knockout power. So, you know, Ribas is a little bit reckless on the feet, I find, Marcel, a little bit. So that's the worry, man. She leaves her chin a little bit exposed. And, you know, she's a young fighter. You'd hope that she improved on that part of her game. But hopefully she doesn't even stand and train. Hopefully she just shoots for takedowns and just takes her to the ground and grinds her out, or maybe submits her or pounds her out or something. I don't know.
Dude, if you're not picking Hill, I'm quitting the podcast.
No, I can't. Dude. Okay, so back when me and James used to do it, like, all the time, we'd always pick against Angela Hill, and everyone was like, why are you picking against her? And then she started winning all these fights, so I was like, damn it, I shouldn't pick against her. And then I started picking her, and then she lost. She's a hard fighter to pick, man. She is. She's always in split-decision fights. Yeah. That's what makes it hard with Angela Hill. But honestly, man, like, her last fight with Yoder, she got taken down a few times by Yoder, and that's not good. Ribas should take her down and probably just a wrestler. She would be -1,000. You're right. She would have been probably a massive figure against Paige, -700.
They wouldn't have made this fight if Amanda Ribas won against Rodriguez.
For sure. I mean, I feel like it is a little bit more competitive than you're saying, Marcel, personally. So I'm going to put that out there. I don't think it's a blowout, but I would lean towards Ribas because of the grappling. But again, you know, Hill's improved that part of her game. She does have good takedown defense. So if she can keep it standing, she'll probably win the fight. But I just feel like Ribas probably gets her to the ground, you know? Anyways, next fight here, Marcel. This one's interesting too. Gregor Gillespie is fighting Diego Ferrer. So Gillespie was supposed to fight Brad Riddell a few months ago, last month maybe. Fight got pulled due to COVID protocols. He gets rebooked here. So a second – did he cut weight for that? I can't remember if he cut weight or not. He did, right?
It was pulled at fight night.
Yeah, so he's cutting weight for a second time. That does concern me a little bit. I got to point that out, guys. Takes on Diego Ferrer. So that concerns you a little bit, Marcel, but he's still the favorite here. You know, only a slight favorite, -180. Pretty big favorite, I guess, -180. You know, moderate favorite at +160 for Ferreira. It looks like a pretty close fight. What are you thinking here, man?
It's a fun fight, man. It's a fun style matchup fight, I think. Gregor Gillespie, we know he's a good wrestler, you know. He comes from he has that wrestling background where he saw his debut, man. It was like against Gleyka Franca, you know. And after that, he just looked very good, man, in his fights. He got people underestimate him now because he got knocked out by Kevin Lee, you know. But he's still a very good fighter, I think. He doesn't fight too much. Too many times, and he's actually in the prime of his career. He's in his early 30s, you know, so you should fight more, in my opinion. And he's now, what's he, 34 35, I think. He needs to get more often in the octagon, in my opinion. If you look at Diego Ferreira, he fights many times often. He's 36, looks good when he fights. He lost against Benil Dariush, a split decision. I think it should have been unanimous for Benil Dariush, to be really honest. It was a good fight, it was a great fight, but I think Benil was better in that fight. But he looks good overall, man. I think Diego Ferreira has a complete game. He is good on the ground. He got knockout power. If you look at Gillespie is really strong on the ground. You know, he's a good wrestler. And if he can get top control over Diego Ferreira, he got a good chance to win the fight, I think. But I'm here more for the complete fighter. I think Diego Ferreira wins this fight. And that's more to do with being more active inside the UFC right now. And Gillespie hasn't been really active. His last fight was in 2019 against Kevin Lee, a knockout. His last win was in January 2019 against Jancy Medeiros. I think Ferreira wins this fight and probably has a better cardio in this one. And taking Ferreira by unanimous decision in this one.
Wow, there you go. You got an upset pick here from Marcel for Ferreira. So, yeah, I mean, like, I feel like it's a really competitive fight for sure. Both guys are good, man. And, you know, Ferreira's a guy I bet on a lot, and he often comes through. Same with Gillespie. I mean, Gillespie, I pick every fight. Even the last fight with Lee where he got knocked out, I picked him to win that one. Pretty sure you did too, Marcel.
Same, yeah.
So, these are both guys I like, and I hate picking the fight. But, God, I kind of lean towards Gillespie, I think, because of the grappling. I feel like, you know, Darius took him down five times. And that's how he won the fight. And I watched it again today, and I was like, man, you know, Gillespie gets the takedowns. He gets them almost every fight, basically, except for, I guess, the last fight. So we'll see. You know, he hasn't fought in a while. And again, that second weight cut does worry me a little bit. I don't love him in the spot, though, guys. I liked him against Riddell a lot more because I thought he could take down Riddell, like, probably hold him down a bit more. But he averages 7 takedowns per 15 minutes. So the guy's a takedown machine. And Ferreira, again, taking down 5 times last fight. Man, so that's the way I'm leading. It's just that it's an MMA fight. It's not just a wrestling match. So, you know, Ferreira can, you know, stop some takedowns. He's probably the better striker. So we'll see. Get some comments here. Pick Gregor due to Kevin Lee getting lucky high kick. That wasn't a lucky high kick. It was a great high kick. I'm not even a Kevin Lee fan, really, and I just love that knockout so much. Like, it was just a great knockout. All right, we've got 4 fights left to talk about. Heavyweights, Marcel. Maurice Green, the Crochet Boss, and Marcos Rogério Pizarro de Lima. This fight, Marcel, another close fight, man. De Lima is actually a decent favorite here, guys. Minus 190, plus 165 for Maurice Green. So De Lima's favorite, but what do you think, man?
Why on earth is this fight on the main card?
I don't know. Why is Tafan Natchukwu not on the main card? Like, don't you want to promote that guy? You know what I mean? Don't you want to promote, what's his name? Ludovic Klein? Yeah, exactly. That's so bizarre, man. Anyways, go ahead.
The UFC has that weird thing, like, let's put a random heavyweight fight on the main card.
Well, that's the thing. Exactly. They want to hook.
Yeah, but it's such a risk, you know, because you can also get a lame decision with somebody with no cardio, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man, I'm just not really sold on this fight at all, man. I don't want to really talk about it. I'm taking Maurice Green via knockout in the second round.
Oh, there you go. It's another upset pick by Marcel. I mean, I feel like it's a close fight too, man. I don't understand why Pizarro is such a big favorite now. Like, there's some spots at minus 200. Why? Like, why is he such a big favorite? To me, this is a coin flip, right? Yeah. Like, the Rothwell-Linz fight, that to me is more clear. Like, these should be the odds for Rothwell-Linz. It's like the opposite to me, Marcel. Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's tough to call because Green, he's not great, man. That's for sure. I mean, he can get knocked out. We saw in his last fight, and he can be taken down and beat up. So he's got a lot of flaws in his game to be submitted to, but you know, he does have some striking himself. He does have that glory background. Also, you know, he does have some submissions. The problem is he's never landed a takedown. So the way he got the submission against Vellante is because Vellante was exhausted and, like, laid on top of him, and he got this weird arm triangle against a tired fighter. It could happen here, though, because Pizarro has horrible submission defense. This is really bad. Pizarro's got knockout power. Pizarro's got some submissions, too, but he probably only has about 1 round of cardio. That's another thing here, too. So, man, this is a tricky one, guys. I feel like the value is kind of on Green, to be honest with you. I feel like as the underdog, Marcel, I'm kind of with you on this one too. Just because he is a bigger guy, he's a little bit longer. He's got that range, man. It's hard if you're not a grappler. But Pizarro does have that wrestling, and you could just take him down, pound him out. I don't think I want to bet on this fight, Marcel. I you know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is one I just want to stay out of completely if I have to, because you know, it's such a high variance fight, man. Whereas I feel like Rothwell can, you know, he has multiple paths to victory against Linz, who doesn't really have a path. In this fight, it's like De Lima's got, he can knock him out, he can submit him, and then Green can do the same thing, and he also probably win decision. So I don't know, Marcel. It's a tough one. It's a tough one to, like, put your money on, I think. I, again, don't understand why De Lima is such a big favorite, though. So I would say the value's on Green in that one, too. I'm with you. But, you know, the guy is not that great, man. I don't know if I want to have money on him. Even though he's the underdog. We got Neil Magny against Jeff Neal next. This is a great fight. Neil Magny's the underdog here, plus 165. Same odds, actually. Minus 190 for Jeff Neal. So Jeff Neal, Hands of Steel, is a favorite here against the Haitian sensation. Neil Magny, 2 great welterweights. Marcel, love this fight. Probably should have been the co-main event or even the main event. Actually, yeah, it would have been a good 5-round fight, to be honest with you. But anyways, give me your thoughts, man.
There's nothing worse to pick a Neil Magny fight, man, because Neil Magny is so durable, is so... always in fights, you know, and always when you count him out, he comes back and he wins. You know, he didn't do that against Chiesa, but man, in his fight against Rocco Martin, in his fight against Li Jingliang, you know, he always comes back, you know, and he knows, and he finds a way to win. Jeff Neal, I'm really high on Jeff Neal still, although he lost to Wonderboy. I think most people losing to Wonderboy, man, they already broke Luque against him. Now they broke Jeff Neal against him. You know, it's like the kryptonite, you know, and Stephen Thompson has such a, yeah, and I don't mean it disrespectfully, but such an annoying way of fighting. And I mean that as you're an opponent of Thompson, you know, you can't barely hit him. We know Pettis knocked him out, but that was more to me a lucky shot. It had to be like that, you know. It was a good shot, but do that fight 10 more times, and I think Thompson wins 9 more times. So, I mean, oh man, I actually stupid. I'm gonna go against Neil Magny again, but I feel like he can get a decision win here again because he is that good that he can take the fight to him, man. But I see Jeff Neal has knockout power. I can put him away, man, and I think Jeff Neal probably will TKO him. So I'm taking Jeff Neal in this one.
Here you go. So Marcel's got Jeff Neal. Yeah, I mean this is a good fight. You know, I feel like Neil Magny is kind of a live dog though. I mean, the guy is. He's won so many fights as an underdog, like, and he's constantly underestimated, you know. And once again, I feel like the consensus will probably be towards Neil. And I feel like that's probably, you know, the way I'd lean if I had to pick someone, Marcel. But I feel like Magny could, you know, maybe win a decision, but still, you know, the power difference, that's the biggest difference to me, the power with Jeff Neil. It's just unbelievable. I think if it was a 5-round fight, I'd give Magny a better chance, you know. Because I think he could probably win decision in a 5-round fight. And this one, in a 3-round fight, I don't know. I mean, Jeff Neal's been in there with some pretty good fighters, and he's handled everyone except for Thompson. And that was coming off a layoff too, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I didn't like how he looked in that fight though, man. I got to be honest. And then Magny got dominated in his last fight against Chiesa after dominating Lawler, right? He looked amazing against Lawler. That's the thing. Can he wrestle Jeff Neal? Can he get Jeff Neal down and hold him like he did to Lawler? I don't think so. So he'd have to stand with him, and eventually he probably gets caught, right?
Like, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way too. But I'm just saying, man, you know how many fights I thought Neil Magny would get knocked out in and then he won the fight? Like so many fights, you know? Like Hector Lombard, Kelvin Gastelum. Like I thought these guys were destroying him, man. And he won, you know what I mean? So he's constantly underrated, man. But yeah, it's a tough fight, man. Jeff Neal's a beast, man. I love the guy. I bet on him. I bet on him every fight he's been in.
Same.
Yeah, except for the last one, I didn't pick him there. I had Thompson because of the layoff. I've been pretty good with picking his fights. I've been actually perfect picking Jeff Neal's fights. There you go. And Neil Magny, I've probably been like under 500. I mean, his fights are hard to pick. So yeah, I lean towards Neal, but we'll see. All right.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Did you saw that clip from Brandon Schaub where he's like, we have that fight between Neil Magny against Neil Goff on Saturday.
Okay. That's funny. Let me get this. What did the control say? Jeff Neal fought Wonderboy last fight. He's really sick. Yeah, exactly. I know. He was sick before that. He had dealt with some health issues. That does concern me, though. I mean, guys that deal with these health issues, like long-term health issues, they sometimes are never the same. You know,
and also then it had this coach in his corner, Saif Saud wasn't.
And that's a huge loss because Saif is a monster. Yeah, I know. I like Jeff Neal a lot. I'm just saying, like, don't you know, never. Put all your chips in on Jeff Neal here because it's a spot he should win, guys. But it's a spot where Neil Magny's come through a lot of times too. All right, Donald Cerrone versus Alex Barrono. This fight, man, I was hoping that you know if this is going to be Donald's last fight, it should be a pretty good fight. I'll say that. But, you know, that fight with Diego Sanchez, that would have just been the perfect fight for both guys. It's unfortunate it didn't happen. Man, I mean, there's no odds for this fight, Marcel. They just posted them. They literally just posted them. Oh, my God. Okay, so we got Donald Cerrone's a small favorite. Wow, what the – okay, he's a small favorite, -140.
What the
Cerrone plus 120. They got it wrong, I think. I don't know. I don't want to say that, but I feel like Cerrone should be favored here. I mean, how do you pick Donald Cerrone in this fight? Like, what are you thinking? I don't feel like you'd pick him. What do you think?
No disrespect, but Cerrone is done against younger fighters, I think, and against guys who are still trying to make a run in that division.
Yeah, Morono's pretty good. I mean, short notice, though. 6 days' notice.
Morono is super underrated as well, I think, man. I don't think Morono gets enough credit from a lot of people. I actually made my mind up when I saw that fight. I was like, man, this is not a good fight for Cowboy, I think, you know. I think Alex Barrono will beat him, probably a decision in this one. But I think Alex Barrono beats him, man.
I didn't know what the odds would open at, honestly. I feel like it was, I thought it was going to be close, but I thought Morono would be favored. I'm not saying the odds were wrong. I don't know if they're wrong necessarily, because remember, it's not based on who they think is going to win or lose the fight, right? It's more just who they think the public will back or not back. And I felt like they would think that, you know, people would fade him here. So, man, plus money on Morono. I mean, right now, that's something I'm looking at. Obviously, yeah, because like, how do you pick Cerrone? He hasn't won in forever. And yeah, I mean, this is a step down. Although Nico Price is not that much better than Morono. You know, they're probably about the same, I would say. Although he did knock him out. He was superhuman on weed though, right? Yeah, but the thing is, like, Cerrone, man, like, he had the full camp. He's got wrestling too that he can fall back on. That's the thing. Like, if he wrestles, I think he can win this fight. But if he stands and trades with Morono, man, he doesn't move his head at all anymore. You know, Marcel? Like, mm-hmm. he just gets teed off on. After seeing that last fight, he got – that fight was a war with Nico Price, Marcel. He was competitive with Pettis, though. You know, we can do that. He was competitive in that fight. But just getting knocked out, beaten up, I feel like this could be the end of his career. You know, but maybe not, because, again, Marcel, Morono is a step down. He is a step down from the guys he's been fighting. You know, but 6 days notice, man. He said I checked his Instagram. He said he's been training and preparing with other fighters in Texas or whatever. So he said he's in shape for the fight, but I mean, he wasn't preparing for a fight. Donald's been, you know, he's not, you know, Donald, the way he trains, it's not, I wouldn't say the normal camp of like someone else. Yeah. But I mean, Donald's always in amazing shape for his fights. Like, he always shows up to fight. There's no doubt about it. I just feel like Marcel, like, man, guys, he doesn't move his head. You know, I think Morono can tee off on him a little bit. What do you think, Marcel?
I agree with you on that, man. I mean, definitely, like you said, man, if it goes to the ground, Cowboy has a chance to win. But, man, we all know Cowboy loves to stand and bang and to strike, you know. And I think that's not a good thing if you go do that to Morono. And, yeah, his head is pretty stationary indeed. So, yeah, I'm picking, like I said, I'm picking Morono here.
Yeah, I would lean towards him too as a dog here. So, Morono usually loses to hard hitters to pressure. Morono isn't a pressure fighter. I've got a Neil Rebus and Chewy parlay. I hedge it with the opponents, but I say he's going to cover my stake. Yeah, those three should win probably. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, guys, if 6 days notice, it's really short notice. You know what I mean, Marcel? Like, it's not like he even had 2 weeks. Like, that's a short note. So that, I guess that's another reason why they think maybe people will be on Cerrone. And here's the thing, like, Cerrone, he's a guy who gets you talk about a guy who's been underrated a lot. Like, I mean, the guy has fought, I mean, looking through his best fight odds, it's fucking crazy how many fights he's been. It's insane. How many, look, I'm going to show you guys right now. It's crazy. There's no one else that has this many fights. There's no way. He's got the most fights. And you look at the odds, Marcel, look at all the fights he's had. This is crazy. Like, it's insane. Like, he's, you know, he's won some fights as an underdog against Aya Quinta, against Hernandez, against Mike Perry. There's some other ones he's won as a dog, too. Let's see here. Maybe earlier in his career. Didn't win that one. Didn't he win this fight against Benson? I think he won that one, didn't he? Won the decision. Miles
Jr.
Yeah. So, and then even this fight where he surprised me and beat Alvarez, right? He's just not the same guy, though. That's the thing. He's just not the same guy, you know. I feel like, again, you know, every week, guys, there's this veteran that we used to love, Marcel, that unfortunately, you know, we have to pick against them because they're just at the end of their career. And this week, it's Donald Cerrone. I don't think I can take him here, man. You know, even though it's a spot traditionally he's done well in, Morono is a decent fighter. He's pretty underrated, Marcel, I think. And I like him, man. I think he's decent. And as an underdog, you know, hopefully you can get even more plus money on him, Marcel. I got to be honest. Again, I thought he might have been the favorite here, guys. I'm not saying it's wrong because I feel like, you know, people are going to bet Cerrone, then they're going to bet him. But to me, I'm surprised he's Cerrone's favorite against pretty much like anyone in the UFC right now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't want to sell him too short, but man, he's just getting beat up in his fights, Marcel. It's crazy. Hopefully he doesn't get knocked out here and then just, like, you know, brutally KO one punched or something and never fights again. I mean, I could see that happening too. You know what I mean? It could be the end of it. But you never know. You could surprise. All right. Last fight. Marina Rodriguez, Michelle Waterson. Again, it's not 100% official, according to Marcel, his sources. So we'll see. But the UFC has announced it. Anyways, the fight right now, Rodriguez for the odds. She's a small favorite, minus 215. Sorry, not small. Like, she's one of the bigger favorites in the card, minus 215, and then plus 175 for Waterson. What do you think here, man? Waterson is an underdog, and Rodriguez is a favorite.
It's a 125 fight, and Michelle is actually in another weight, man. So, I mean, I know she finds a strong weight, but she should be at that weight, you know. And this Marina, Marina still has to cut weight, man, and she's not even in the U.S. yet. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think Waterson has to cut weight to make 125, to be honest, but Marina has to cut weight to make 125. It's a big thing. So, overall, man, Marina Rodriguez is actually very underrated still, man, by people, I think, even with a win against Amanda Ribas, you know. I mean, Waterson is a name on a record that she probably needs to get the casual fan out of their seats. Like, oh, she beat Waterson. This girl is good, you know. We know she's good. I really like Marina Rodriguez. Only her ground game is not that great. You know what I mean? We saw that in the Ribas fight. We saw it in the Carla Esparza fight, that she can be taken down and she can be controlled on the ground. But I expect her to be stronger in this one. I expect her to beat Waterson. I expect actually a striking matchup because Waterson loves the striking as well. So, maybe she's smart. She tries to take her down. You know, you never know. But now I'm going with Rodriguez, man. And I don't know if I got a finish, so I'm doing a decision here for Marina Rodriguez.
Oh, man, I just don't understand why it's five rounds on such short notice, you know, because I know it's at 125 and everything, but it's just weird how it's for five rounds. I feel like it might be a boring fight, honestly. I feel like it could just be like a point battle, Marcel. I feel like it's going to turn into a kickboxing match. Rodriguez has more power. I feel like maybe she does get a knockout. Maybe this is the fight where she really cements herself as a contender. But I don't know. The fact it's at 125 on such short notice, I feel like it's going to look like a sparring match, man. I don't know. I don't hate the fight. I just wish they had more notice for it. I don't understand why they didn't just move up one of the other fights. You know what I mean? It's just weird how they brought this completely random fight in for five rounds when they had other fighters in the card. You know what I mean, Marcel? Isn't that bizarre? Mm-hmm. Like, did they have this as a backup main event? Were they just thinking, hey, this might happen. We might lose a fight. Like, or did they know about TJ's cut before everyone else did? I don't know. It's weird. It's just a weird fight on short notice, I think. Again, not even in their weight class. It's up a weight class, too. So it's, like, really bizarre to me. I think I got to lean towards Rodriguez, too. And, again, the odds do have her as a favorite here pretty clear, obviously. But, you know, like, Michelle Waterson, I mean, she can win these kind of, like, split decision type fights, you know? And if it's going to be a five-round fight, Rodriguez might slow down a little bit. The thing is, she doesn't really have to cut that much weight, right, to make 125. So her cardio should be on point here, and that's why I would lean towards her. I think at 115, the cardio might be a little bit tougher for her in a five-round fight, but at 125, I would have to lean her, Rodriguez, more so. It's just, again, kind of a weird fight, man. We got some comments here from you guys. Jamie, hey, Jamie, what's going on, man? When Cerrone struggles against southpaws, his record or dog good, true, but I just feel like I don't think I could pick Cerrone against anyone, honestly. Morono would be high volume and aggressive. Yeah. He'll fight for your money. I agree. Kenshiro, Waterson is technical, decent wrestling, has all the tools to beat Marina. Everyone has just hyped Marina now. She knocked out Ribas. Remember Marina like a dead fish on ground. Yeah. I mean, Marina's got bad takedown defense, I would say. It's not great, you know. Esparza took her down a bunch. Ribas took her down too. Ribas had her down, right? And then she caught her.
I expect Marina to be much stronger than Waterson.
Oh, yeah. And Waterson's someone who should be fighting at 105. Her path here is to outpoint her. That's how, like, she would have to win three rounds of the five. And she could. I think Waterson
she can.
Could.
She can do it.
I think she could win three rounds. I think it's going to be a pretty close fight, honestly. But yeah, I would lean a little bit towards Ribas, but he likes the dog here, man. I don't blame you, honestly. I feel like the odds are a little bit kind of far off. I thought they'd be a little closer, Marcel, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I'd have to go with Marina a little bit. Marina's allergic grappling, having parlayed her. Yeah, it's like you kind of want to parlay Marina and a clawing, right? Those are the two minus 200 dogs. I wouldn't do it, though. I don't think I could do it. Anyways, yeah. overall, Marcel, good car, man.
Yeah. But I don't know what people are complaining about this car, man. It's not a bad car at all, in my opinion.
Yeah, to me, it's like it's a free. It's not even a pay per view, right? It's just a regular car.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I think it's a great card. You know, as someone who again did the research for the prelims, especially, I just think they got the bout order wrong. I think Tefon Nichupi and Jung Yong Park should be in the main card, and Ludovic Klein and Mike Trezano, Mike Marcel. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or maybe one of those fights, and then you put the other as like the featured main event for the prelims is the Rothwell fight with Lins, because they think a knockout will happen, right?
Yeah. So,
anyways, yeah, I mean, can't complain. And if we're going to complain about that, then, you know, we can't be – we shouldn't be complaining about the boat orders. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. We see the fights should be good fights. We got a few minutes here, guys. We're going to take a few questions. Stylistically, Morono's good here for the win. I would tend to agree with you, Daniel, but, again, you know, it could be competitive. Marcel, anything else you want to talk about? We've got a couple minutes left. Saw the rankings. Jiří moved past Rakic. I agree with that, by the way. I think you should be rewarded for finishing guys, and Rakic has been just winning these like boring decisions. So, you know, Rakic has been playing it safe, and that's the risk you take, man. So I like that Jiří actually was rewarded. What do you think?
I don't mind it at all. It's okay. Yeah. I actually like they put Daudu in the rankings at featherweight, man. They took Cup out. That's okay to me.
I thought they took out Stevens.
No, they did that last week.
Okay. That's fair. They took out Cobb then. Okay. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, Jigger moved to 10, but he beat a guy who's unranked right now. So to me, like, that's kind of weird that he jumped so far up. But I love Jigger. So I think this is good because then he'll probably fight someone in the top 10 next. Where were you at when I parlayed Yana and Lewis? Where were you? I mean, did you tell us that? I think you probably did. Nice job, man. Is Carolina still in the UFC?
Yeah,
she post something saying she's gonna make a comeback? Did you see something?
Yeah,
I like Carolina, man. She's I don't know what, like, I feel like, you know, she could have been like, the UFC was trying to make her a star. She's a good looking girl and she could pretty good fighter, obviously. She has some good wins, like, she beat Rose and everything, right? But bro, she took a beating her last couple fights, Marcel. Like, she took a bad beating,
and I felt she wasn't there anymore, you know what I mean?
Not competitive, really. Mentally not there. Yeah, I agree with that too. Just didn't seem like the same fighter after the fight with Andrade. Man, remember that knockout? That was one of the craziest ones ever. But I really liked her, man. I mean, she's got that win over Rose. That's a nice win on your resume to have. Like, don't you think?
It is.
Who else has Rose lost to? Only Andrade and
Esparza
and Torres. And yeah, that's it. So she's a monster. Any other comments? Jiří wants to fight to death. Yeah, I love the guy, man. You guys know I like him. He's a beast. Is there anything else? The rankings? Once a few small things, or Mirab moved up a spot.
Yeah, switch spots with
Sean Strickland moved up too. I love that Sean moved up. I think he's great. I'd like to see. Who do you want to see Sean Strickland fight next?
Kevin Holland. Why not?
He's actually ranked above Holland now.
Yeah, I know.
I actually would love to see that fight because I think they would talk a lot of shit to each other. But to be honest with you, I think he should fight Uriah Hall, man. I think that would be a great fight.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, that'd be a sick fight. Or even not Kelvin. Kelvin took he took a beating. Yeah, or Jared Cannonier would be a good fight too if they really want to give him a push to the top five guy. Because Cannonier is a guy that no one talks about. I think he's injured, maybe.
Yeah.
But Uriah Hall just had a fight where he didn't even fight. So I feel like Sean took no damage against Jocko. I mean, it was a sparring match, Marcel. He could probably take a few weeks off, get back in there. I think they can maybe book that fight for, you know, like 264, maybe put Strickland on that card. I'd like to see him on a pay-per-view card, man, even on the prelims of one, because I feel like he deserves that. They always put him on these fight nights, Marcel, Sean Strickland. But I like this kid a lot, man. He's one of these guys that I've always been high on. I really like him. Since the first time I saw him in the UFC, he destroyed Bubba McDaniel. I was like, holy crap, this kid is good. And you know, he's looked good. Anyways, Marcel, I think that's it for today, guys. Appreciate you guys joining us. Marcel, I appreciate you, you know, making the time today, man. Just plug your stuff and let everyone know they can find you.
BigMarcel24, Twitter, Instagram, MMADNE.NL, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram.
There you go. You guys can find me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and then the podcast, obviously, MMAoddsBreaker.com, from the YouTube channel, iTunes, where else, bunch of places, Spotify, Anchor. This Anchor website has like all these links to stuff. So definitely if you guys want to like download, you can do that too. But love the live chat, obviously, talking to you guys. Where else? Yeah, I got a lot of articles at Oddsbreaker right now. Some opening odds stuff. So check that out. djpenn.com, mymmanews.com, and then Elite Fantasy, Elite Sports Betting. I'll have my bets and DFS breakdown up for Friday for those guys. And, man, it's been going really well there. So, yeah, I mean, I'll talk to you guys on Thursday with AJ at 4 p.m. Eastern. We'll break down that PFL card and Bellator as well. So have a good one, guys. And, Marcel, have a good one too, man. Peace.
You too, man.